Well, given the events of this past week, I have to admit I cracked up when I read the lessons for today. Felt this enormous, sense of humor and relief to hear again the story of the end of the flood in the book of Genesis and the Lord's reassurances that never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. I am hoping that in addition to rains that cover the earth, this promise also extends to insure against floods that result from frozen and bursting pipes. I'm just going to see this coverage policy extending to all of that. Because if you didn't know, we had something of a flood here in the church this past week. On Ash Wednesday, in fact. Frankly, the theme of Ash Wednesday was still, pretty similar to what we would normally focus on that day. But rather than using ashes in order to meditate upon our utter vulnerability and humility, we simply had a church with thousands upon thousands of gallons of water standing in it to remind us of our utter vulnerability and humility. As sometimes helpful as it is to mix up your symbols, in order to keep the lesson fresh, I have to admit I will be ready to go back to ashes next year. Sadly, what happened here is quite similar to what has happened to thousands of our neighbors around the Metroplex, around the state, and this might include you personally. Not that we didn't all try to prepare. We did our best. We dripped our faucets. We opened our cupboards. We found flashlights. And we snuggled down in blankets when the power went out. We ate cold food in the dark. And we went without warm water. Some of us have even been boiling our water. But you know that here in Texas, the real enemy of any severe cold snap is not the snowfall or even the ice. It's in those bursting pipes. Here at Transfiguration, the pipe in question was in the ceiling just outside the north transept here on the way to the hallway of the childcare wing. And before anyone could get here, this beautiful place, every square inch of this nave, had nearly 2 inches of water standing in it. For the rest of my life, I will never forget the sensation of splashing down that center aisle. But you see, this story is not a tragedy. Storms do not have the last say. And as Christians, we must never lose grasp of that fundamental belief that the worst thing is never the last thing. And that's certainly true in this event, which is, in actuality, a surprising story of grace. And it was grace that was first manifested to us in the very simplest of actions. Because isn't it true that quite often the most important, the most consequential actions are also the simplest? You see, when that pipe burst and the church began to slowly fill up with water, no one at Transfiguration knew about it. A fire rescue team was dispatched to the scene. They showed up, but they could not get a hold of anyone from the church when they saw that it was a burst pipe and not a fire, and so that water just kept on gushing. That is, until one of the church's neighbors, a man named John Seltzer, happened to walk by the church as he took a walk in the snow that cold Ash Wednesday morning. And he could hear the alarm going off from inside the church. But rather than assume that the situation was already taken care of, rather than assume that this was someone else's problem, John Seltzer took a moment to call someone. He remembered that his down-the-street neighbors are Jordan and Jeremy Teeple, who are members of Transfiguration. And so he contacted Jordan. And Jordan got in touch with me, and I got in touch with Bracken Reese, our director of operations, and only then did we learn that there was an alarm going off, and why. If it wasn't for John Seltzer, a good Samaritan if there ever was one, I would almost certainly not be preaching this sermon from this place in this space. Frankly, I don't think any of us would be in this place for a long, long time. So we owe John Seltzer a debt of gratitude that is truly hard to fathom. I'm also tremendously thankful for all of the parishioners who braved those treacherous roads in order to get here as soon as they could and help out. The hope and the inspiration that I felt when I stood, frankly, in this very spot, watching them, including many children, work so hard all afternoon in order to move all of those thousands of gallons of water out of here. That feeling of hope and inspiration far eclipsed all the feelings of anxiety and worry that I had felt when I first arrived. It turns out that love, flowing out through the hands of those offering the simplest of actions, it is a force powerful enough to drive back a flood. But the story of the flood from Genesis is not the only word from the Lord for us today. In all of the craziness of this past week, it would have been easy to miss that we have now begun the season of Lent. And as we always do on this first Sunday in Lent, we heard the story of Jesus in the wilderness, where he spent 40 days being tempted by Satan. Now, the version that we heard this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, who, true to form for Mark, tells a very brief and simplified version of the story. He's in a hurry as he's telling this story. So we didn't get any of those details that we get in Matthew or Luke, any of those specifics about the nature of those temptations. But what we do get is lovely in its simplicity. And it has this wonderful little line, which is so easy to miss. While Jesus was in the wilderness, enduring this long time of temptation, the angels waited on him. Have you ever noticed that little phrase? It can get lost in there as we reflect upon the nature of the temptations, the nature of fasting for 40 days in the middle of the wilderness. All of that that consumes so much of our imagination can lead us to overlook this little line. Yet it jumped out to me, perhaps unsurprisingly, given the nature of this year. The angels waited on him. So I've been reflecting this past week about just what sort of help that might have been. It couldn't have been big. This wasn't an apocalyptic battle that they were engaged in. This wasn't defeating the powers of evil and death, though Jesus was certainly confronting them. All of those things would eventually have their day. But when you're in the wilderness, when life has been boiled down to its barest essence, when you have been reduced to day by day existence, what you need most is far simpler. Words of love and encouragement, maybe a drink of water, companionship, someone to be with you. As we continue to wander through this long wilderness, because we're in the wilderness, aren't we? As we continue to wander through this long wilderness time of sickness and separation, which now also apparently includes devastating cold and bursting pipes, we must remember just how important even the smallest actions really are. Sometimes the most faithful thing that we can do is also the simplest. Sometimes ministering to Jesus looks looks a whole lot like making a phone call when you see that something isn't right, or wielding a squeegee or a broom to just clean up a mess, or speaking a kind word to someone you know is hurting. Saint Teresa of Lisieux is famous for saying, "We cannot all do great things, but we can all do small things with great love." Doing small things with great love. That is the name of the game, friends. This is what Lent is really all about. This is what the Christian life is really all about. Disciplining ourselves to be the sorts of people who do all things, but especially the small things, with great love. Now, given everything that we've endured this past year, including this past week, obviously, I'm not sure that this is the Lent to give up a bunch of things. Actually, I have seen more than one person post that they never intended to give up electricity and hot water for Lent. It was a discipline forced upon us. But the good news is that the call of Lent is a call to holiness, not misery. And so perhaps instead of bothering with finding something to fast from, you know, the things so many people fast from, Diet Coke and chocolate and all that sort of stuff, you might instead choose to use this season in order to claim a discipline of doing the smallest things, you know, the things that fill up most of your day, to do those small things with great love. In his Ash Wednesday sermon, Pope Francis said, Lent is a humble descent, both inwards and towards others. It is about realizing that salvation is not an ascent to glory, but a descent to love. It is about becoming little. So the question then is, how can we, in the midst of our pandemic lives, descend more deeply into love? Well, I think that we are actually better prepared for this than we might realize. We've actually been training ourselves to see small things as an act of love for nearly a year. After all, isn't that how we have come to see mask wearing and social distancing? Now, there have always been some who can only ever see these things as a source of irritation, as uncomfortable mandates, as nothing more than infringements on their personal liberty. But early on, we chose to see mask wearing and distancing as ways that we are able to love our neighbors as ourselves during a pandemic. These are the simple, the small things that we have disciplined ourselves to do that manifest great love to a hurting world. Staying home when we want to go out. Keeping our distance when we want to get really close. Wearing masks even when they are inconvenient and uncomfortable. These are small things, really, when you think about it. Small things that we have chosen to do with great love. And over time, haven't we gotten better at these disciplines? What at first seemed strange and unusual and irksome now feels pretty ordinary, right? I don't need help remembering anymore to grab a mask on my way out the door. I now know what it feels like to have that mask cover not only my mouth, but also my nose. I now know what 6 feet is supposed to look like and feel like. I'm habituated to washing my hands every few hours and every time I get home. I'm finally comfortable on Zoom. And by seeing all of these things through a prism of love, they've become more than just rules I've been asked to follow. They've become holy disciplines. So do you see? This year has actually been a masterclass in the lessons of Lent. That by practicing disciplines, we learn them by heart. That the little things can add up to be as big as the big things. And that anything, little or big, can be done with great love. So this Lent, I encourage you not to think big, but to think small. How could you begin to see all those little things in your life, the things you may be already doing all the time, as occasions for great love? How could you reimagine the things that already fill your days as opportunities to practice holiness? It is in these little things, these small acts of great love, that we will join the angels in ministering to Jesus. And all of God's people said, Amen.